All right, well, good morning. So great to hear the kids singing, wasn't it? It was fantastic. I think their vocabulary has gone up tenfold after singing that song, and a lot of heavy words there, but they did a great job. And again, happy Mother's Day. Some of you are mothers, some of you are grandmothers, some of you are great-grandmothers. So what a fantastic day to come together to remember mothers. So congratulations, and it's great to see so many visitors here as well. What a wonderful day to come together. And you know, it's interesting, I was thinking through this, and we often hear dads or kids talk about the fact that, you know, mum needs a medal. Mum should be awarded and rewarded for all that she does, and she should be praised, and that's what we're doing this morning. It's interesting, though, when you look at the world's concept of greatness and accolades and praise and things like that. It's interesting because to receive an award or an accolade today in our culture, you kind of have to stand out. You kind of have to do things that most people can't do. You have to outdo your peers. You have to outshine those who you rub shoulders with. And essentially, to be the leader of many, you kind of have to have earned it. You can't just walk in and expect to run the show, whether it's in a company or a sporting club or anything like that, unless you've earned it. That's the worldly philosophy that we're surrounded by. And it's interesting, though, when a person does receive accolades and praise, they may have earned it, they may have outstripped their peers and competitors, they often find that they receive all sorts of benefits, don't they? They receive whether it's money or fame or success. We see doors open, we see different opportunities presented to different people. And that is what goes on in the world. That happens in the world, and we see that all the time. And it's interesting because we can get caught up in that. We can look at this world and we can see that people want to be famous. They want to be the leader amongst leaders. They want to be the one out in front, the one recognized, the one praised, and the one honored. And you know, that kind of mindset, which is somewhat different to what Scripture says, that same mindset the disciples in Scripture actually had themselves. Very interesting to think through. They themselves looked at the opportunity they had with Christ as a means to gain. They saw their relationship with the Saviour as an opportunity to be great. It's interesting, Mark 9:33 tells us about this. It says there in verse 33, and you can turn there with me if you'd like. Verse 33, and they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" That is Jesus. He asked them that. "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest of them. Do you see that? They had this argument going on the side. They were too afraid to say anything in front of Jesus, but they wanted to debate with each other who had the right to be the greatest of his disciples. They were probably thinking about the future when Christ sat on his throne in Israel and he was going to be king. And actually, one account in Scripture tells us that two of the disciples send their mum to ask Jesus about their sons being possibly on the left and right of Jesus in his kingdom. So there's this competition going on, and they're probably all talking about the different reasons why they should be exalted and the leader amongst leaders. It's interesting. Jesus responds to them and he tells them something very interesting. He gives them a concept which was probably very foreign to them, which is probably very foreign to us today. And look at verse 35. He says this, and he sat down and called the 12. They didn't answer him, but he knew what was in their hearts. He knew what was going on. And he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." Do you get that? If anyone would be first, if anyone would be chief or the greatest, or the top of the pile in a sense, if you want to put it that way, he must be last of all, last in terms of rank, and servant of all. So here we are, the disciples, listening to this, and imagine having your perspective changed. All of a sudden you're thinking, wow, here's my opportunity to be great. Yet Jesus pulls me back and says, you know what, if you want to be great, then you have to be the servant of all. They're probably thinking, what on earth have I signed up for? What am I going to get out of this? No fame, no praise, only humiliation, being debased, no recognition for anything at all. You know, it's interesting, we today, even in Christian circles, we would never say that, we would never openly say those words, but I think if we're honest, we might even be tempted to think that within our hearts. What am I getting out of this? What is the greatness of being a servant of all? How is that great? But interestingly, and the strange irony, and you know this, the strange irony of this is that we know that the one who selflessly serves, the one who tirelessly gives of themselves, is actually honored and loved by all. Right? That's the strange irony. No one wants to be servant of all, but the one who is servant of all receives great praise. He receives great honor, and she receives great recognition for the fact that she is the servant of all. You ever notice how that works? Think of the people that you've known in your life. Think of mothers. Think of fathers. People who have been examples and models of this. They never leave your memory, do they? They're entrenched in our memories because of what they've done. So the one who puts self aside and meets the needs of others is always esteemed by all. And he lives in the hearts of and memories of people for years to come. We know that to be true. We know that to be true. So this morning, I want to take a few minutes and I want to look at two wonderful blessings that mothers possess. Just two wonderful truths, two wonderful blessings that mothers have. But before we get into that, I want to pray with you and commit this time to the Lord. Father, we want to thank you that we can come together and even just think of this whole principle of what it means to be great. The fact that you've called those who want to be great to be servants. And Father, we look at mothers and we're here this morning, Lord, to thank you for the fact that they are great, for the fact that they are wonderful and we esteem them highly. And the very reason we do that is because they are servant of all. They tirelessly give. They tirelessly work, paying little attention to themselves or their own needs or their own wants. And they give continually for others. We want to thank you for them. Father, we want to thank you for those who serve as mothers, yet possibly never having had their own kids, who take other children who are not their own under their wings and love them as a dear mother. We want to pray and ask this morning that you will be glorified through mothers, that as we look at the wonderful role and responsibility that a mother has in the home and in her community, amongst friends and family, that you will cause us to give glory to you. We thank you for this time. We pray as we're just going to spend a few minutes looking at this, that you will impress these truths upon our hearts. Help us to take away truth and facts and information which will grow us in Christ-likeness. We give thanks to you and ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is obviously indeed Mother's Day. It's interesting because we come here and there's a lot of smiley faces. Everyone's happy. Everyone's got a lunch to go to, a mother to greet, and we've talked about breakfast in bed and all sorts of awesome things that happen in the home. But Mother's Day isn't always a joyful day for everyone. As Mel said this morning, for each individual person, there is an individual story. There is an individual background. And for some today is a hard day. For some here this morning, for some of you, today is not an easy day. Some of you have lost your mums. Some of you have had to say goodbye to your mums. You have the amazing memories, yet today is still a difficult day for you. We praise and honour mothers. We understand that though they're not perfect, though they're not flawless, without fault, yet we can always look and we can see that they have selflessly loved us, selflessly given of themselves for us. We can look back and see that. And that is why we honour them. You know, we don't praise our mum because she's outstripped all other mums. We don't give her a special medal because she's the mother of mothers as such. We know and understand that. And we simply praise our mothers because they've selflessly loved us. You know, it's interesting. You're probably sitting there and you're thinking of your own mum. And again, though they're all flawed, our mothers aren't perfect, we can look back and we can give thanks to them for many things. You know, I was sitting there thinking through this myself. I look back and I think of my own mum who used to get up at 4:45 every morning to drive me to the station. She'd help me get ready. You know what it's like when you're 17 years old. You struggle to be organized and disciplined and wake up. But she was there, getting my breakfast ready, helping me to wake up every 5 minutes, driving me to the station, getting me ready. That was my mum. She worked two jobs just to put food on the table. You know, it's interesting. She also went without a lot of nicer things of life. She didn't have what most mums had. Simply because times were tough and things were difficult, she went without. And, you know, we'd have people over for dinner. We'd have guests over. And if there wasn't enough food, she wouldn't say anything, but she wouldn't eat. She'd go without food. And those are the little things that we look back on and we remember our mums. We remember those kind acts and things that they've done. It's always interesting, isn't it? Because at the time, we don't often realise, we don't often see the selfless acts of love that mothers are doing for us. And so today is a really good opportunity for us to do that. And again, as I said before, it's important to realise and acknowledge that there are women who may not have had their own children yet. There may be women who may not be able to have children. There are some who aren't actually mothers to their own children. Yet the reality is there have always been and there currently are women who love others as their own children. You know, Helen reminded me this just last night, thinking through of the story of Amy Carmichael. I don't know if you know much about her. She was a missionary to the Indian folk in India. She was around in the late 1800s to the early 1900s. She got the calling from the Lord and went and served there. She was someone who had a profound impact amongst the people there in the community. One story is told of her where a young Indian girl named Prina arrived at her door. She was knocking and banging on the door. She had just escaped from the temple there in India. And what would happen there, unfortunately, was that many parents would give their children to the temple so that their child would serve as a slave who took on many responsibilities there, which were horrible. And these children were slaves. They could often be beaten and killed and all sorts of horrible things happened. So this young girl, Prina, turns up on Amy Carmichael's door. Now, Amy Carmichael faced possibly the death penalty, possibly a beating for taking in this girl. Yet that didn't stop her. She couldn't have her own children, yet she took in this young girl. And one interesting thing is that over 50 years that she'd spent in India, Amy actually took in hundreds and hundreds of unwanted children. And amongst the people, she became known as Amma, which is the word mother to them. She became like a mother to kids who had no mother. That's an amazing example of the love that a mother has for children who are not her own children. But again, I said to you earlier that we're going to take a look at two wonderful blessings that mothers possess. It's interesting, the first thing I want to look at is this. It's a principle. It's a really interesting principle. And it relates to mums, but it also relates to everyone here. The principle is this, that selfless, tender love demands and captures people's hearts. Do you get that? Selfless, tender love demands and captures people's hearts. You know, what do I mean by that? What does that actually mean? What does it mean that that kind of selfless love grabs people's hearts? Well, it's only logical that this would happen because actions speak louder than words. You know, you can talk about your love for someone. You can tell them you love them and care for them. Yet to actually stake yourself beside someone, to care for them in practical and tangible ways, speaks volumes to people. It endears their hearts to us. Isn't that why our mums have our hearts? It's impossible not to love those who continually serve and care for us. Isn't that true? It's impossible to not be in love with the one who continually loves for us. You know, it's interesting. Paul expressed these same things to the people in the book of Thessalonians. It says there in verse 7 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and you can read this with me. It should be up on the screen there. Paul says to the Thessalonians, "But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children." There it is. There's that parenting example. "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us." You see that? So Paul talks about the apostles as coming to these people in Thessalonica and loving them, being tender towards him, being kind and compassionate, just as a mother is towards her own children. It's interesting because I believe here he captured their hearts through that act of love, through that kindness he had their hearts. His words weren't empty, were they? His words weren't hollow. They weren't void. They were backed up with actions. Look down at verse 9. It says this. He goes on and he says, "For you remember, brothers, our labour and our toil. We work night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim the gospel of God." You see that? They weren't simply words. It wasn't simply talk. They didn't simply come in and just teach and not serve and not love and not give. What they did was come in and work tirelessly. They weren't a burden to anyone. And the reality is that these people became endeared to them. That's what love does. 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 6 says this, just backing up a little bit. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. You see that? This is further on in the chapter. These people were endeared to Paul. They loved Paul. They delighted in Paul. Why? Because he first loved them. Because he was selfless. Because he was sacrificial in the way that he cared for them. You see, love grabs hold of the heart. Love grabs hold of the heart. And you know this practically. You know this practically. It's very hard, again, to love someone. To not love someone who is loving you so much. It's almost impossible. You will ultimately love them. And that's what was going on here. And obviously we're here on Mother's Day. And we know that our love for our mothers comes because they first loved us. No matter what they say, no matter what they do, telling us not to do this, not to do that. You heard the video before. That whole list of different things where we can at times feel as though mothers or even fathers are pushing us in this direction when we want to go this way. We stop and we look back and we realise that it's only ever for our good. It's only ever for our good. But you know what? That's the principle. Selfless love causes people's hearts to be knit to our own. That kind of love causes hearts to be open. It grabs people's attention. But I don't want to just come here this morning and just tell you something nice about mothers or simply just talk about this principle of love. I want to give you something to take away with you this morning. I want to give you something to remember. And so I want to look at this really interesting opportunity. Because it's simple. Because if we have the heart, if through mothers you have those people's hearts whom you're loving, if you have their heart, then you have a great and awesome opportunity to love and to guide, to influence and to impress that which is good, right and honouring to God. You see that? You have your children's hearts. You have your husband's heart. And with that bond and that contact that you have with them, you have a great and powerful opportunity to influence your children. Paul knew that. Paul understood that. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 1:6. He says this, "You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake." So there's the whole integrity, the service and the love side of things. "You know what kind of men we proved to be among you, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit." You see that? That was the result that this kind of love had in the lives of the Thessalonians. You see that? Paul's love, Paul's care caused their hearts to be knit with his, affectionate with him, willing to follow him to the point of modelling themselves after him. You see that? So these believers actually imitated Paul. Why? Because he loved them. And because he loved them, they trusted him and they respected him. Very interesting principle, isn't it? So it's something we really need to think through. So we could say this, that a mother's greatest gift isn't praise and honour. And we're here this morning, we've heard a lot of that. We've sung about it, we've talked about it. But a mother's greatest gift isn't simply praise and honour. The most precious gift that a mother is given is the opportunity to be used of God to model and influence a soul towards Christ likeness. You see that? It's very subtle, but we can forget that. We can forget that. The very fact that mothers have the hearts of their kids, the respect, the trust, they serve as examples and models. Mothers, you have a great opportunity here. A mother's greatest gift isn't praise and honour, but the most precious gift that a mother is given is the opportunity to be used of God to model and influence a soul towards Christ. So if the influence is there, if the opportunity is there, we need to ask the question logically. What kind of influence are we giving? Have we thought through this? Is this something that we work on and try and increase in and grow in? It's interesting because we quite often don't think this, but mums know this, that our kids are just like us. Our kids will be just like us. Whether we like it or not, we see our kids as little reflections of ourselves. The things they say, the things they do, those very little things that we see in our kids, we first see in ourselves. They're like they are because they're just like us. That's kind of scary to think through, isn't it? I remember years ago being, I can't remember exactly where I was, but this is a scenario that happens all the time. You hear the kids say something that's maybe not very kind, maybe a little bit rude, and the mum is alarmed and she says, "Oh, I wonder where that came from." And I'm sitting there thinking, "Oh, I know exactly where that came from." Unfortunately, our kids say and do things that we ourselves do. J.C. Ryle understood this concept. He understood the power of influence. And the fact that kids learn and watch what we do very, very carefully. He said this, "Fathers and mothers, do not forget that children learn more by the eye than they do by the ear. Imitation is a far stronger principle with children than memory. What they see has a much stronger effect on their minds than what they are told." End quote. You see that? He was right. He understands that the way we live, what we do, speaks volumes to our kids. They imitate, they follow. They forget the words we say most of the time. That's why we repeat them every single day. We almost need a CD to just play and repeat the same words as we heard on the video. But they understand and they watch how we live. So we've got to guard that, don't we? We've got a great opportunity to model this, to model Christ-likeness. Thinking about our attitudes, our desires, our thoughts, our logic, everything we are and work towards, they will become. You can look at that from a negative side. You can maybe look at yourself and think, "Wow, I don't want my kids to maybe pick up that trait that I have or that bad habit or that wrong response." But the reality is they will. They learn very much from us in that way. The power of influence is great and it's weighty, isn't it? But it's a huge responsibility. It's a huge responsibility, and you know what? It seems daunting. It seems like a weight which is sometimes too heavy for you to carry. But it's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to have people live with you, to follow your example, and to grow and to change into Christ-likeness. So on the one hand, you know what? We have to be careful of the example that we set. On the other, again, what an encouragement. What an encouragement. You think about that responsibility to be an example, to be almost feeling like you have to be the perfect parent, you just can't get it wrong. That's a weighty matter, and it's a difficult task, isn't it? It is impossible to be perfect. It's completely impossible to be perfect. And parents, believe it or not, you aren't perfect. Mums, you're not perfect. We know that, don't we? We make mistakes. We do our best to honour God. We try hard, we work hard, we try and be humble, we put things right with our kids when we make mistakes, but we simply can't be perfect. We can't live up to God's perfect standard of what a parent should be. But you know what? There is one parent. There is one parent who is perfect in every way, all the time, without fail. There is one parent who is perfect in every way. His instruction is correct. His rules are right. His love is pure and never failing. That one perfect parent is God. You see that? It's interesting because we're here today and we're celebrating mums. As I said before, some of you have lost mums. Some of you still have mums, but a mum is only for a lifetime. We don't always have our mum with us all the time. We can't always contact her. She's not always there to comfort. Yet there is one perfect parent who is always with you. who is there for you when no one else is, when no one else can be. And that is our God. He is a father to the fatherless. And you know what? He is the ultimate example of selfless love. He is the ultimate example of selfless love. You think about our principle. What do we say? If selfless love, if sacrificial love which we witness and see, if that endears our hearts to the one doing it, then think about Christ's crucifixion on the cross. Think about his giving his life as a ransom for many, dying in our place. The greatest act of love, the greatest act of kindness, giving his life for those who do not love him. You know what? That's got to grab our attention. That's got to endear our hearts towards him. That's got to cause us to listen, to respond. It's got to. Psalm 24:1 says this, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." So in an overall picture, you've got to see God as the one who created every single person. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now get this, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." You get that? That's the picture here of Psalm 24 saying that God has created every single person. He's created us to be in a relationship with him. Obviously, sin has blocked that and stopped that and distanced us from him. Yet he sent his Son to restore us, to bring us back to him, our Heavenly Father. You see that? How does that happen? Verse 18 says this, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." You see that? Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Christ made it possible that all can come into the family of God, that every single person in this world can believe upon Christ and be restored to their Heavenly Father. What an opportunity. Again, yes, it's fantastic to honour mothers today. It's fantastic to look at this picture of selfless love. It's modelled before us every single day. We see it, we experience it. We've all been on the receiving end of it and we're thankful for it. But you know what? There is one who has loved us infinitely more, in a far more perfect way, giving his own life for us, that we should be restored to the Father. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, I challenge you this morning, where do you stand with God? Here is an opportunity to realize that he has given his life for a reason. If it were possible to go to heaven through some back door or just by doing good deeds, then that would have happened, but it wasn't. It's not possible. God is holy. He sent his Son to die as the payment of sin, and he's calling all men everywhere to believe in him and be saved. To be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We just thank you that we can come together, we can sing, we can hear the kids sing, and we can see them bless their mothers and give thanks to you for their mothers. We thank you for your word. We want to thank you for this example we have in Scripture of Paul being like a nursing tender mother to these people. And Father, we understand wholeheartedly, and we're convinced that it is self-sacrificing love which endears people's hearts to us. Father, that is why we love our own mothers, because they've given so much for us. Yet, Father, as we come here this morning, we just want to pray that you will help us to understand the responsibility and role that not just mothers have, but all of us have, to live as examples, to be servants of all, to be there for those so that they can model us and follow our pattern of life. Lord, I pray and commit that into your hands. We thank you for your Son who has died on the cross for us, and pray and ask, dear Lord, that we will see his great act of sacrificial love in its proper light. We give thanks to you and pray and ask, if there are any here this morning who have not turned to you for salvation, that you will cause today to be that day where they cry out to you and put their life right with you. We give thanks to you for this morning and ask for your rich blessing to be upon us. We thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen.